Horror in the House of Sounds. Here to save the day. Vamps and zombies, ghosts and werewolves, make them go away. Let's talk about your favorite movies, have some laughs and fun. Then when you're scared of deep, dark shadows, you won't need to run. Morning is coming, there's nothing more to fear. You can come out to play. Brian and Jamie, remember, are always here.
And that's all there is to say.
Welcome back
to the place where you something, something, something.
Kinda.
If you're old, you may get that.
Happy New Year, first of all, everyone.
Fucking thank God.
And hello, horror fans, and welcome back to Horror in the House of Salmons. I am Jamie, and with me, as always, is Brian.
Hello.
Where have you guys been? We've been here.
I know, Jesus, they just left us.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Season 3 is wash. That. It was a very truncated season. It was a bad year. A lot of bad shit going on. And we're just going to put that behind us and start fresh with Season 4 at the beginning of 2024.
Are we still busting loose or whatever the hell?
Oh.
Limping back?
I don't know. Should I just extend the son of?
I guess.
Or Season 4 is return of.
Hey, that works.
Because that works. Yeah. All right. So no, we're not still busting loose. However, we can still bust loose.
Okay.
But people who have been listening to us for a long time, first of all, thank you.
Thank you.
For still being out there.
Yes.
And being patient with us. And you guys have been nothing but supportive and kind and so patient. And
very, very patient.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of that. And thank you for coming back.
We are striving to be better, more frequent, stronger, faster, the whole thing.
Yeah, we have the technology.
Yes.
Damn, I'm just keep dating myself left and right with references.
You can't help it, baby.
But if you've been listening to us for several years, then you know how we start off the new year.
Drugs.
Yeah, well, apart from that.
Booze.
Behind that.
Hookers.
Before that.
Okay.
We do our 1, 2, 3s of ABCs is what it used to be called.
Yeah, back in the
old
days.
And, yeah, now it is our, you know, top 10 of the year of 2023. It'll have a better name than that, but
essentially, that's what it is. Our top 10 horror movies from last year. And as I always remind everybody, because God knows there's a ton of, well, actually, people out there. Not that there's any amongst our listeners, because you are all awesome, and I love you all. But, yeah, there might be one or two movies. I know I have one in my list. I forget which one it was. But it's technically was released in 2022. But as I always say, it is so hard to follow that guidelines these days, because nowadays the release schedule is so messed up. Something could be released on, you know, the festival circuit, and that counts, despite it not coming to, like, real theaters or streaming or whatever until a year or two later. And that was the case with one of these movies, so technically it's 2022, but it didn't get a wide release to 2023, so it counts.
That's totally fine. And anybody who doesn't like it, too bad.
Okay.
Because, you know,
but no, I just
don't
felt like we had to get that out of the way because, again, somebody will go, well, that came out last year.
Do you want to do the, you know, of course, this is only my opinion.
Yeah.
all right. So the way we do this is what?
Actually, I do want to add something a bit more.
Okay.
I am fully aware that last year really sucked for me, and I was not in a good place mentally. Physically, I was okay, so good for that, but just, it was a bad year for many, many reasons I don't want to get into here. But because of that, I fully understand that maybe I didn't give all the movies a fair shake. Now, honestly, I think I did. As I'm always saying, and Jamie can attest, one of my favorite sayings is, before you know anything else, know yourself. Because that's important. And I do realize...
I've heard that before.
Yeah. And I do realize I was in a bad place, and so I might not, you know, have been in the best mindset to watch every single movie, but I honestly try to, when I sit down to watch a movie, blank my mind as much as possible, go in fresh, and just enjoy it for what it is.
Unless it's a movie I pick.
Unless it's a movie you pick, because they usually suck. But, so that, if your favorite movie is not on my list, maybe that was the reason why. And if I didn't like it as much as you did, that could be why. Again, I honestly don't think that's the case, but, you know, your attitude does affect your opinion on things.
No, it totally did. Like I said in that episode of The Collection, the first time I watched Deadpool 2, I did not like it. I hated it. It was like I just was so unhappy the entire time I was watching it. And I knew, though, going in, I didn't want to watch it when we watched it because I knew I was in a bad mood. But I was just like, well, you know, I'll try. Nope. Then when we rewatched it for The Collection, it's way better. You know, it just, your general attitude and your outlook really definitely affect how you feel about films. Or anything else, really, but here, specifically, talking about film.
So, in my case, unlike any of the previous years we've done a top 10 list, it was hard for me to come up with my final 10. Usually I have way too many movies, and I always have a big list of honorable mentions and stuff like that. Now, this time, I did come up with 10 solid picks that I really liked, and I would be totally fine and happy to endorse and recommend and all that stuff. But I don't have any honorable mentions. And it's not that there's bad ones out there, but just there was a lot of, I don't know, known quantities. Like, case in point, you're not going to find Saw X in my list. Why? Because I'm not a big Saw fan. I never have been. Now, this Saw X was a pretty decent movie. I enjoyed it. I liked it. And as a for a Saw film, it's better than many of the sequels, I thought. But when it was all said and done, it was just another Saw film, and that's not going to trip my trigger. So, there. I think that's enough provisos, at least for me. Do you have any honorable mentions, and do you want to get to them now or towards the end?
I do, but I like to do them at the end because that way it will maintain the mystery as to whether or not they're on my list.
Yeah.
I will say, though, regarding 2023, it was so weird. I felt like all year I wasn't watching very many new movies. Like, I kept saying it. I was like, I'm so far behind. I haven't watched any new movies. And, like, I'm just like, and I just didn't feel like it. And there were just months where I didn't want to. Like, I had no interest in watching anything new. I wanted to watch movies that were comforting and familiar.
Well, yeah, me too. And, again, that's because I had a bad year.
You're right.
But, honestly, let me ask you this right from the beginning. What do you think of the year 2023 in horror?
Well, that's what I was saying is that I didn't feel like I'd watched very much new. And then when I started to go back...
Yeah, you were surprised on how many you've seen.
I was like, oh my God, yes. Yeah. I mean, it is a really chunky number. Mm-hmm. I just didn't even realize it. And there are likely some that I still have forgotten about, but if I forgot about them like wholesale, then
yeah,
they wouldn't be here anyway. But then I found myself, particularly when I got to the last two spots, I couldn't do it. I couldn't choose in between what was left.
Well, that's a good sign.
Now, I will say there were a couple of films that really impressed me. But that's about it. You know, yeah. I also noticed, too, that a lot of films that were making my list were theatrical releases, which is unusual.
Yeah.
Particularly in a year when we had a strike.
True.
But
no, you know, what do you think of the year in general? I asked this in a Facebook group, but because you're staying away from social media and all that, you might not have seen it. I asked the people to take a poll, and what do you think of 2023 in horror? And I gave them five choices, just like our rating system. And for all those who may or forgot, tell them about our rating system.
All right, our rating system here at Horror in the House of Salmons goes like this. We use the old-fashioned, take it on back, Netflix ratings.
Which was really good.
Those are the only ratings that make any sense to me.
Yep.
You know, unless I guess you could go thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah,
but
just a simple yes or no.
But I really like those because it allows you to kind of nuance how you feel about them. Also, we do about technicalities or, you know, the technical aspects when we are rating. That is not what it is rated on. It is rated on how we feel about the film at the time
we watched it. How much we enjoyed it.
Yeah. So one means hated it. Two, didn't like it. Three, liked it. Four, really liked it. Or five, loved it.
So with that in mind, what do you give 2023?
A 3.
You know, so do I.
Yeah, I said...
It was good. It was solid.
Yeah, it was solid. And there were a couple that really, really impressed me. But for the most part, when I was going through the list of things we watched and, you know, surprising myself at how many things we actually watched, a good portion of them didn't even know what they were. I mean, you know, I was like, hey, we watched something called blah, 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 you know, and you're like, yeah. I'm like, what was that about? Because I didn't remember it at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was fine.
Let's hope 2024 is much better all around. Yeah.
And I guess, you know, maybe the... and again, like you, I could have been affected by my emotional state when I was taking all of these in. Now, there were a lot of films that I just had such a good time with. Not a lot, but there were those ones that I was really impressed with. I had such a good time. So I know that I can recognize when I'm really enjoying something. So I don't really think that's the problem. But
that's why I said I don't think I was tainted by my bullshit attitude. Because, yeah, there were some movies that I just absolutely loved. There just wasn't as many this year as there was like last year or, you know. Yeah. Times past.
Yeah, this might be, I'd have to do some research into it, but it might be my most disappointing year in a very long time. And I won't even say disappointing, I guess, but I'd say it's at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, probably would be for me too.
All right, well, do you want to get into the meat of the show?
Yeah, let's talk about the movies that did rise above the rest. The creme of the creme. Creme de la creme?
Cream of the crop?
Cream of the crop.
Cock of the Walk, that's for you, Dave, and Christian, and Brandon. But
they like walking cocks?
No. Dave is all the time throwing out these phrases that I know, and Christian should, but I think it's because he's Canadian, maybe? But, I mean, Christian and I
are saying about
like
Canadians?
The same age. No, I'm just saying different. Shut up. I love the Canadians.
You're racist.
But
against Canadians. She won't eat.
What are you talking about?
Syrup.
I don't eat Kraft dinner.
Poutine. What the fuck is that?
Anyway, Dave will throw out these phrases that he, you know, expects people to recognize. I always get him.
And well, because Dave has an old soul.
He does. He does. And
it's one of the things I like about him.
Part of the reason I love him as much as I do. And we are very similar and stuff like that. So. You know, I'm on the other end of the show, like, listening, and I'm like, yeah. And they're like, what? I'm like, what are you talking about? Top of the Pops was one of them.
Well, that is pretty fucking old.
No, that is old, but, you know, you still got it.
That is before my time, but yes,
but
I did get it.
Yeah. And then Cock of the Walk was okay. another one. But
Big Man on Campus.
Yeah. He's the BMOC.
Okay, let's get into this. As always, ladies first, so...
Well, I was going to tell them how we're doing it.
Okay.
All right, what we do, we start at 10, we go to 1.
Like every top 10 list you've ever listened to. Shut up.
There could be somebody new here and they don't know how we do it. You start at 10, you go to 1, we alternate. I will go first and give my number 10 choice. Now, if my film... My number 10, for instance, is on your list somewhere. Don't say it.
Okay.
Don't give anything away.
You're not the boss of me.
I am. You should know that by now.
You wish.
Okay. All right. Starting with my number 10. Thank you. I had to stifle a little bit of a giggle a while ago because you mentioned this film, but not for being on your list. Also, it's kind of appropriate that it landed where it did, I did not plan it. It was not on purpose. It just happened that way. All right, go ahead.
Saw X.
Yes.
Yay.
And, okay, people who've been around me for a while, like listening or whatever, you probably know that I'm not a huge fan of the Saw franchise. Now, I absolutely love Saw.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Saw 2.
Mm-hmm.
And 3, I think, is okay.
It was okay, yeah, exactly. It was great, good, okay, and then after that, meh.
Well, and there was a later one that I liked. I can never remember.
The one
of
the insurance people?
Yes.
That one was pretty good, too.
I like that one, too. But, yeah, I mean, I did not dislike Spiral. You know, but it...
I thought it was okay.
I liked it because it was different.
Except the ending. The ending was
well, it was freaking horrible. Too predictable. But what I really appreciated about this, Saw X, is it kind of went back... It felt to me like it goes with Juan's original Saw. Like, it feels... The tone felt more similar to me. It didn't look as ugly as some of those later sequels did. I dug it. I thought all the performances were really good. The gore was great. I enjoyed the, you know, how they pulled off the deaths. And I think it actually gave you more sympathy for John.
Yeah, but that's part of my problem with it. But I am not here to bitch about movies. I'll just say... I didn't like it all that much. I thought it was fine, but that's about it.
I do also like that we got to see a good side, a caring side of, what's her name?
Amanda?
Shawnee Smith, yes. You know, when she was, you know, she felt for the one girl. And I appreciated it. I appreciated seeing that side of it. I didn't really get the hair, but... You know, whatever. Can't be perfect. But that's my number 10, mainly because I was really pleasantly surprised. Because usually something that comes out this late,
yes.
And then they try to shoehorn it between...
I'll give you that, yeah.
Between 1 and 2, it's like, oh, wait, this goes way back here. It doesn't always work. I feel like this one did.
Okay. Well, I can see that making some people's lists. It didn't make mine. Spoiler, I'm... giving it away right now because I already did. But, you know, I'm not angry at it and, you know, whatever. As for me, my number 10 is very light on horror, to be 100% truthful, but it is a when animal attack film. It just so happens to be when animals attack on cocaine.
Cocaine shark? I knew
yes,
it.
Cocaine shark. No. Cocaine bear. I had a lot of fun with this movie. Yeah, it's not all that horrific, but it is an animal attack film. It was largely played for laughs, but the laughs worked for me.
It had some good gore.
It did have some good gore. I love the bear attack on the ambulance drivers.
Oh my god, that is easily the best part of the movie. But
when he comes launching into the back...
And I even love that part in the trailer and the song that they're playing mm-hmm. in the trailer when he's sailing into the back of the van. Like, oh, that's great. And then and I loved her character and I hated that it happened to her, but it was so fucking funny when she just face planted on the
hands and slid on the ground.
Yeah. I mean, God bless her.
Yeah.
That's a horrible way to go and she didn't deserve it, but I thought it was so hilarious.
And
we showed it to your mom.
Yeah. And she did like it. She thought did. It was a bit much, but she did like it. And come on, Ray Liotta's last film.
Yeah.
He's a legend. So, yeah, all the way around, it is just a fun movie. Again, not all that scary, but not every horror movie necessarily has to be all that scary for me to enjoy it. And that's the case here. Cocaine Bear. I thought it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I was technically classifying it, I would just call it a straight-up comedy. But being said, it's my number 9.
Yay!
And it's just because it was one of my favorite kills of the year. Like, yes, it was comedic. And it wasn't scary. But... No. I mean, I don't think even intended to be a horror film. It just, I can't deny the amount of fun I had with it. And it was all because they went there with the gore and the kills and the, you know, I mean, that was brutal. And I, you know, got to give them props for that. So yeah, hell yeah, you made my list and I don't care.
Okay, so I guess we'll jump to my number 9.
Yep.
And this was one we saw early in the year. It always stayed with me up until the very end, obviously. And that is Influencer.
Whoa.
Do you remember that one?
Of course I do. I didn't even think you liked it that much.
No, I really did. Yeah, I like that the girl survived and now she's going off to get her revenge.
I thought it was great.
Here, a YouTube influencer goes on a vacation, meets another girl. They start hanging out and being buddies, and things go off from there. I like all the acting in this one. I really like the acting from an actress called Cassandra Nod. She plays the mysterious girl and the one who has a bit of secrets to hide. I liked how it was written and paced and everything about it. I liked the location. I don't know if it's horror, like hardcore horror. It's definitely a thriller. Well, there is murder and death, so it counts for me. And it's my number 9.
Well, that's very cool. I'm glad to see that one come back. Yeah, I really liked it. And that actress, we just saw her in something else.
I know. Oh, no, it wasn't.
Was it Totally Killer? Or...
something like that. Yeah.
Or that other one. Oh, It's a Wonderful Knife, maybe?
Maybe that's it. Let me check. It's a Wonderful Knife.
Oh, yay me.
She had a small part in that. She was just one of the people in a background kind of thing.
Yeah, she was cool. And I'd never seen her before that, but... before Influencer. Mm-hmm. But I feel like she's kind of popping up now, so that's cool.
Oh, well, hopefully.
Okay, well, my number... 8?
8.
Okay. Cobweb.
That was another one I wanted to like more than I did. And I thought it was fine, but I do have my problems with it.
I know. But I really enjoyed it. Part of that is because I'm hot for Homelander. Not his politics. Just the guy.
He is
but
dreamy.
No, he plays the father in this, and I thought he did a really good job.
He did.
I also really enjoy the fact that it's so different. Like, when you get to the end, which I know includes the things that you didn't really like about it, That's where I was really impressed, because is it nonsensical? Yeah. You know, it doesn't all make complete sense, but, you know, think about things like Barbarian or
Keep going. Cookies.
No. It was my number one movie last year. Jesus Christ. Malignant.
Okay.
Not last year. Was that last year?
I think so.
Okay. Anyway, where it's just so, they're embracing the absurdity like we used to see all the time in the 70s and early 80s. You know, they're, you know, they had no problem embracing the absurdity. And
no.
Neither do I, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. So
it was a good movie. I did really enjoy it. I wanted to like it a lot more, and I just couldn't. But it's a solid flick.
All right. Well, what is your number eight?
My number eight is a movie, again, an early watch, but it stayed with me. I haven't heard much about it at all from anyone. Now, maybe somebody mentioned it and whatever, and I just didn't hear about it or whatever. But it is The Resurrected. That's the movie where, in the relatively near future, I guess, the Catholic Church finds a way to bring people back to life. But they will only bring back to life Catholics and in good standing.
So, yeah, so everybody's rushing
everybody to convert. Starts converting, because, I mean, who doesn't want to live forever? But, of course, things don't go as planned, and there is this whole malicious, murderous mystery behind everything. And I really liked that point. As I often do when I'm watching movies and stuff's going on, I start trying to, you know, jump ahead and guess what's going to happen. I can't help myself. That's just how I'm wired. And I had a totally different path that I think would work, and I was really happy. But they went somewhere else and did something completely different than what I was thinking. And I liked that, too. So I can't find fault in this movie. It is a good mystery. There's some good horrific scenes. It plays with the nature of, you know, religion and the afterlife and all that entails. So, yeah, I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, that was a good one. And you're right, I haven't heard, I don't think I've heard anyone talk about it.
No. I mean, when I was searching back for, you know, movies of 2023, I was surprised, oh, this counts? Oh my goodness, and nobody's talking about it? So that's why I wanted to give it a shout-out.
Well,
if you haven't seen Resurrected, I do recommend it.
Yeah.
Quite a lot.
I liked it a whole lot. Okay. My number seven is a recent watch for us that has gotten a lot of buzz this year. It came out strong, like swinging.
My sex tape.
When it came...
Because, you know, something was swinging.
Swinging, right, yeah. Anyway, it came out swinging on streaming and got a lot of praise and a lot of buzz. And we only recently got around to it. But I'm glad we did because there were a lot of things I really liked about the choices they made. And that kind of surprised me because I'm not usually a big... alien invasion.
I know what it is.
But this one, I was impressed. I'm going to say I wasn't, it was way better than I even thought it would be.
The title already.
No One Will Save You.
Which is also my number seven.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. So were you as surprised by that movie as I was?
I'm not a huge alien abduction fan. I know a bunch of people are. My good buddy Glenn, he is terrified of alien abduction movies. They never really strike home with me. Or, you know, I can appreciate them, but they never really scare me. This one, it was great. I like the idea behind it's nearly dialogue-free, like 99.5%. There's only one single line given. And that's good in theory. There was a little bit of times where, you know, it's like, oh, come on, she would say something. You know, if you want to have a completely silent protagonist, make her a mute or something. Because there are times where just say something. And her muteness made me roll my eyes. They also do the thing where, you know, I think twice she meets different people. And it's that stuff where she walks up to them, they walk up to her, and one of the people, you know, they'll start to say something, and they'll start going, but then they'll, you know, just close their mouth, shake their head, wander away. And it's like, oh, God. That's being slavish to your idea a bit much.
I liked it.
So did I. I mean, it's not my number 7.
No, just I those mean, bits. I mean, I liked that they did that. Nothing annoys me more than when things are clearly shoehorned in for the audience. Like someone announcing everything they do to themselves.
Well, yeah, when they're talking to themselves. Yeah. I'm glad she didn't do this.
Yeah, no one does that.
Oh, I better go check the mail and just, yeah, she's not narrating to herself.
Yeah.
And there's no exposition bombs in here or anything like that. I get that.
But I like
But there are times where it's like, somebody say something. Okay. Because it's only natural somebody would.
But what it does is it highlights how alone she is.
I get that.
You know, and her, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was a good choice, and I like the way they used it. And that's actually one of the reasons it made my list.
I thought it was a good choice.
A brave thing to do.
I like the way they used it most of the time.
Okay.
But
also, it scared the shit out of me.
I love the suspense and the atmosphere.
Yes.
I love the aliens in this. And what did you think of the end? Because the one thing I've heard, well, I've heard a few things about this movie negatively. But one of them is, oh, I didn't like the ending. What did you think of the ending? Where the aliens basically take over everybody, but they leave her alone. And she is now more happy with the aliens than she ever was with the humans. That's the whole point.
I like that.
I thought it was very classic sci-fi.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that at all. And again, I think it drives home just how isolated she was.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get rid of all these people who had nothing but malice for her. And, okay, we don't ever find out exactly what everyone's so pissed off about. Like,
but we
exactly,
can infer.
But we can come to at least not a how necessarily conclusion, but a what conclusion. Yeah. And it just, to me, doesn't seem fair that this entire town hates her guts when clearly she didn't do anything with malicious intent. Or at least that's how it comes off to me, you know, that whatever happened, I think was an accident.
Yeah, because she's obviously very sorry about it. She's writing notes and all. I mean, while I didn't like the mute aspect all the time, one of the things I do like about it is it forces the actors, and in this case, one actor, the main actress of the film, because she carries this movie.
Oh, yeah.
She's alone in it, you know, again, 99.5% of the time. And she has to carry this entire movie. She has to sell how frightened or curious or whatever by just her face. She can't rely on dialogue. And I think she did that amazingly well.
Yeah, she did. I was on board with her from the very beginning, and I stayed that way. And yeah, it legitimately freaked me out. Like, I don't even know if you remember, but we were watching the movie, and it, you know, it was a good chunk in before
you peed yourself.
It got scary. No. But then I was just like, well, there go my feet. I pulled my feet up onto the couch and rolled myself into a ball. And I was like, all right, yeah, now I'm scared. So that's something alien movies don't do.
No.
There's only maybe two.
With the exception of, like, you know, yeah. The Thing is an alien movie.
Yeah.
Alien is an
but
alien
I'm
movie.
I'm specifically referring to Invasion. Yeah. Like, where they come here.
The whole little greys abducting people and flying saucer type stuff.
Don't typically scare me. The only other one I can think of off the top of my head that did is
that light one, right?
Fire in the Sky?
Fire in the Sky, yeah. That's it. Everybody always points to that, and that's a good one, but so far that was like the only really scary.
Yeah. Oh, and that one. Oh shoot! It was made by the Blair Witch guy.
Where they had the alien in their garage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Altered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wait. I like that one too.
Yeah, Altered. Yeah,
I like that one too.
That I think is also genuinely scary. And if anybody out there has not seen that one, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good one. Okay. Anyway, yeah. So, well, that's cool. We both liked it. And
yeah, that was my number 7 as well. So why don't you tell us your number 6?
Okay. My number 6 is also a more recent watch. One that a lot of people have been telling us, Mike Merriman messaged me about it. Dave said it was good. And then most recently, Jason said it was an 8. And I was like, an 8?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, it's not a 7.5? Because, you know, everything's a 7.5. But I was like, all right, well, let's give this a chance. And that is When Evil Lurks.
Nice.
And, yeah, it seems kind of low down the list. Because it's an excellent film. It was fantastic.
Because your internet hate it?
But no, because there are... I the ones that made my list were really hard for me to order because I just liked them that much. And then there were still more that I'm going to have to throw out in honorable mentions because I couldn't fit them. So, like, it doesn't mean I didn't like it that much. It just means that's as high up as it could go. And that's When Evil Lurks.
Yeah. It's a good movie. It's a very good movie. A Spanish import. Or is it Argentinian?
It is Spanish.
Peruvian?
It is a Spanish.
I knew South America was related to it somehow.
Yeah.
It was done by the guy who gave us the amazing Terrified.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
Not Terrifier. Terrified, another import movie.
You know, that movie with a little dead boy at the table.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's what everyone remembers about that movie, for good reason, you know, but...
And like that one, this one does have a lot of very memorable points like that, where it's just like, wow, I can't believe they did that. So I like this filmmaker, he's fearless, and I can't wait to see what he does next.
Yeah, the only reason, honestly, that we put it off as long as we did, because I knew I had to watch that movie before the year was up.
Me too.
But it was really because it was subtitled, and it is so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard for me to read subtitles now. And that breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Because I love foreign films.
Getting old sucks.
I have always preferred subtitles over dubbing, mainly because if they're not acting well, I can't tell.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, hey. But I hate it because it's keeping me from watching things that I want to watch. But I get a headache. I can't see, you know, I can't read them fast enough because you have to focus, you know. So, yeah, that's why we'll put it off. But I'm glad we did eventually watch it because it is a really good movie.
Yes. My number 6, The Last Voyage of the Demeter. This is based on a chapter from the novel Dracula, which was basically just Dracula came to England on a boat, and everybody died on the boat. Isn't that scary? Well, they decided to take that and show you what happened.
Yeah, they fleshed it out.
And I've heard some people say, oh, this movie is just Alien on an old boat. Yeah, but you can say that about a ton of movies.
Well, everyone calls Alien a haunted house movie in space.
Or, Dog Soldiers is just aliens with werewolves. I mean, you can make comparisons till the cows come home. It doesn't lessen a good movie, in my opinion.
No, absolutely not.
Also, like, the sum total of the chapter from Dracula really doesn't tell you anything about what happened on the boat. So, in one of the few instances of, I don't know if it's a prequel. It's more, I guess you could call it a sidequel, something that's occurring at the same time. But even that was another complaint I heard is, well, we know how it ends.
Well, duh.
That is my problem with 99.5%, I'm using that number a lot.
You are.
Of horror prequels. They always end how you know they have to end because the original movie has to be a surprise. So yeah, everybody's gonna die. Here, we didn't know anything that happened to these people other than a bunch of people died. But we didn't know how many people, we didn't know who they were, we didn't know anything about them. So this is a prime example of taking a prequel, again, although it's not really a prequel, but a pre-existing IP, I guess, a chapter of a book, and expanding it and doing it well. And yeah, it is Alien on a Boat, but I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I enjoy the hell out of Aliens.
Well, so. Yeah. But I love the claustrophobic feeling of the old wooden ship.
Yeah.
I thought all the characters were really well done. I love the more bestial, bat-like look of Dracula in this. I enjoyed it.
He was really scary.
Yeah.
I thought.
And it was done in such a way that even at the end, when, quote, everybody dies, unquote, it's plausible. That ending still works if you think about Dracula and how that all went to its own.
Well, you know, they also even added a little bit
at
the end. But which works, though, because at first I was like, but wait, how? But then, like, why not? There is nothing,
yes.
And I don't want to give it away
That's
or anything.
That's why I'm giving it away, just in case you haven't seen it.
But it works. And I'm like, all right, why not? Like, yeah, sure. And I really love this movie. I did. It's my number 5.
Oh, okay. What are you not supposed to say?
I'm on my number 5. That's
You're on your number 5? Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Okay, then I guess you can. I lost track.
I loved it. I loved the atmosphere. I loved the acting. I really wasn't ready for it to be over when it was over. It is exactly the kind of... It's the kind of film that I can, like, settle into, and I could stay there for hours because I just am enjoying it, just being there so much.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I agree, so.
Yeah, it was one that I was super excited to see as well. Like, I've been waiting for that movie for a very long time, and I was really excited because we got 2 Dracula films, you know, like, back-to-back pretty much.
Yeah.
With Renfield.
Mm-hmm.
Last Voyage is my number 5.
Nice.
And Brian just got that for me on disc.
Yay.
Just because.
Just because. So I guess I'll go my number 5. My number 5 is the last movie from 2023 we seen for this. I didn't know a damn thing about it. I just heard a few people mention it, but not enough. And then I, you know, just took a look at the brief synopsis, and just based on that, I'm like, okay, I'll give it a watch. And that is Brooklyn 45. I love this movie.
I am so fucking glad we didn't skip it. I am so glad.
It is so well done. Now, admittedly, it's not all that horrific. Although there are moments, it is a legit horror movie. It basically starts off with a bunch of older war vets. By that, I mean they are physically aged older than most soldiers or officers. And they're getting together in the winter of 45, so World War II just ended. And their old commanding officer is having some issues. He invites them all over to help him out with his issues, and then things go crazy from there. There's some good old-fashioned spooky stuff in the beginning, and then not so much spooky for, like, a good portion of the middle, and then at the end, the spooky comes back. There is some good special effects and gore, But what I love about this movie is, and I've said this 100 times, I'll say it again right now, it is essentially a one-room play. Mm-hmm. And I love one-room plays because they have to be on point. You have nothing else to hide behind. You have no other location, no, you know, cinematography goodness of just, oh, that is such a beautiful shot. Usually no distracting special effects. I mean, there's some special effects in here, and they're good, but they're just part of the story. Everything is very limited. That's why if you talk to actors and all that, they usually say theater acting is so much harder than, like, acting in movies or TV and all that, because you have to be on point.
Well, yeah, with a movie or a TV show,
you can take it as
do it as many times as you need to.
127 times, according to Kubrick.
Yeah. When you're on stage, that's fucking it. I mean, I've done a lot of stage.
And this is a movie, so I'm sure they did multiple takes, but all there is to keep your attention is 5 people in a room. And for the most part, they're having a discussion. They're trying to figure stuff out. So the acting has to be incredible. And in this case, it is. I love everyone in this movie. With a special shout out to Larry Fessenden.
I have never seen a performance like that from him.
I always thought he was okay, but he never really impressed me.
Yeah,
here he does.
I really liked him more recently in the Barbara Crampton movie, the vampire movie.
As her husband? Yeah. He was good.
I mean, he is a good dramatic, great dramatic actor, but I've never seen this level of performance from him. Also, he cleaned up.
Yeah, true.
I was floored. And Anne Ramsey.
Oh, she, not from Throw Mama from the Train.
Right.
Anne Ramsey, who played the daughter in The Taking of Deborah Logan. She was one of my favorite things about that movie. She's one of my favorite things about this movie. I just think she is incredible, and no one talks about her. You know, everybody talks about, you know, Toni Collette and all, you know, and rightfully so, but I think she is an amazing actress, and she was just amazing in this. Mm-hmm. I think the story is well done because nothing is straightforward, and at the end, you are still left with some questions, but I love that. And there are multiple ways to take that. So, if you're a hardcore horror fan who just want, you know, something like Terrifier 2, which is a great movie, I'm not putting that down, but this is not going to deliver that for you. But if you want to see amazing acting, incredible writing, dialogue for days.
Oh my god, and the dialogue is so good.
It's like it's David Mamet wrote it.
Yes.
I mean, it is just damn good. This movie floored
me. And when there is gore, there's fucking gore.
Yeah. So, yeah, this one, if you've slept on it, if you missed it, it has a kind of stupid name, Brooklyn 45. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
And the poster does it no favors either. But if you haven't seen this and you just want to see a damn good movie, I highly recommend it.
It's on Shudder, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely recommend, which means that's the one saving grace is that since it's on Shudder, I actually think it's a Shudder original.
Yes.
Then horror fans who have Shudder likely stumbled across it. So, mm-hmm. Hopefully. Okay, well, then, that leads me to my number 5. And that is one of the earlier theatrical releases.
Your number 5 or number 4?
Number 5. You just did your number... Wait, what? Shit, did I screw it up? 10, 9, 8, 7.
Yeah, I did my number 5, so it should be your number 4.
5. No, I go first. My number 5 was Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Oh, so I just went again. Okay, okay. Sorry.
No, you're okay. So my number 5 is Evil Dead Rise.
Real quick. 10, 9, 8, 7. 7, 6, 5. If I just did my number 5, How many do you have left? Including this one. Because my next one is my number 4.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11. Oh.
You have one too many, don't you?
Yes.
Numbers hard.
Numbers are. So I guess, well, all that time I thought I had two spots I had to fill, I guess I only had one.
Okay, well, get rid of one and put it in your honorable mentions.
But it'd have to be one of the back ones. I can't get rid of one of my top 5.
You have to now.
No, bullshit.
You done fucked up. Now you gotta pay the price.
No.
Yeah, you do. You gotta get rid of one.
Fuck no.
Yeah, sorry, those are the rules. If you can't have a top 11, that'd be anarchy.
Well, if I get rid of one, it's going to be Cocaine Bear, because it's not even really a horror film.
Yeah, but you've already talked about it, so we must move on. You're breaking the rules, baby.
I don't care. When do I care about rules?
Well, I'm enforcing them. No, that's okay. You can just tell everybody how stupid you are and how you made a mistake.
Okay, I'm really stupid and I made a mistake.
No, you're not. I mean, you made a mistake. A very dumb mistake.
Wait a minute. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I only have 5 left.
Count all of them there.
Wait, or am I supposed to be on my number 4?
That's what I'm saying. You're supposed to be number 4.
Okay, well, then we can skip Evil Dead Rise. I'll go to my number 4.
Whatever you want to do. If you don't want to have that in your list, if you want to be that person, go ahead.
Well, no, it's still there.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's gone. It's been redacted. There's a big black line through it.
Okay, fine. Well, people know about it anyway. Mm. I'll go to my number 4.
Okay.
My number 4 is Insidious: The Red Door, and anyone who has a problem with it can suck it.
I guess I can suck it.
You can. Look, I don't care what anybody says. I fucking loved that movie.
Really?
I cried at the end of it.
Well, yeah, but you cry at the end of damn near everything. But
I care about that family. And it was really nice to see everything wrapped up the way it did. I thought it was a beautiful send-off to that family. And I particularly loved... what's his name?
Patrick Wilson.
Thank you. Patrick Wilson's performance in this. And, not to mention, the ghost cover featuring Patrick Wilson doing vocals the end. No, shit. That topped everything off for me and made me cry even harder. So, I loved it. I had a good time with it. I was glad to have it. And, also, that was Patrick Wilson directing, and I think he did an incredible job.
I think he did a good job.
Eh.
Not amazing, not bad, good. I can't believe you bumped off Evil Dead Rise for Insidious, The Red Door.
You made me.
That's just wrong. No, you had full control of what you'd bump off, and you choose to bump off Evil Dead Rise.
Well, I'm not going to bump off a movie that's higher up on the list.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be.
That's your opinion.
Okay, back to my...
See, previous suck it statement.
Back to my opinion, then. My number 4, correctly labeled and ordered, and is... And this is probably going to be higher on a lot of people's lists. It is pretty high because I think it's a really good movie, but I can see some people having it higher. I think you will have it higher. And that is Thanksgiving.
Oh, I see.
And I think it's just number 4 for me simply because there are 3 films I liked more ahead of it.
Well, that's
it. I mean, I can't find fault in this movie with the exception, and I've said it 100 times, there should have been some boobies in it. No, not every horror movie needs boobies.
But there were boobies in the fake trailer.
Yes.
Like, come on.
You can tell Eli Roth was forced into that show.
Oh, yeah. He's not going to purposely do that.
And I'm sorry, but if you're going for that old school slasher feel, then have some boobies. But that is only a little quibble. A minor thing.
99.5% of the movie you love
is great. And yeah, that is true. Other than that, I really enjoyed this movie. Now, as a slasher, I honestly wish it had at least one or two more kills in it. Because a whole bunch of people survive at the end.
No, that's true. They do.
But, other than that, I love the look of the killer. I liked to love the cast. There was nobody I disliked, but there were, you know, different flavors of how much I liked them. I dug the story behind it. I dug everything about this movie.
Yeah, I thought the effects were really good.
Yeah.
I had so much fun with that movie.
Yeah.
It was just, and like I've said about Eli Roth, I like him. Like, everything he's done is not fantastic.
No.
But he is a true blue horror fan, and I respect that.
I would like to think that if I knew the guy, we would be friends. That's someone I could hang out with. Now, who knows? Maybe he's a total dick in private. I don't know. Watch a bunch of racist tweets or something come out tomorrow. But he seems like a legit horror fan. He seems to have a joy in his heart for gore and, you know, silly stuff and all that. No, not every movie he makes is a winner, but when he does hit it, he hits it hard. And that is the case here. I really dug this movie. I hope they do both. I think they are doing a sequel.
They are. They've already announced it.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, hell yeah. I can easily see the Pilgrim becoming a new horror icon and a very popular Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's cool. It looks cool. Yeah. I had a really good time with that one. Let's see what I have for number three.
Yes, you are on number three.
My number three is Talk to Me.
Nice!
From Australia.
Oi!
With
the... That's my Australia.
I don't remember their... Raka Raka guys. This is two young Australian YouTubers making a movie and fucking killing it. You know, also killing it at the box office. Mm-hmm. They did really well, and I'm very proud of them and pleased for them. And they show that you can take a premise that in and of itself is not brand new, but you can do something different with it and give it a whole new fresh coat of paint. And I really feel like that's what they did.
Yeah, one of the oldest sayings is there's nothing new in the world of storytelling and all that, but it's how you tell the tale. And I think this is a very good example.
Yeah.
It's also a great example.
The performances were damn good.
And also proof that if you're a YouTuber jumping to the world of making movies, you can actually do it and do it well.
Yeah.
Usually YouTubers...
It doesn't have to be smiley.
Yeah. God, there's been some garbage out there. So yeah, this one was a really nice surprise, and I'm glad it did as well as it did.
All right. What is your number three?
My number three is the movie you just betrayed and backstabbed, Evil Dead Rise.
That is a good movie.
That is a damn good movie.
Should have made my list.
Yeah, you think it would have.
I would put it around probably number five.
Or number six, depending on how you look at it. But yeah, I think The Evil Dead has to be the most solid franchise of them all. Every movie is damn good, including the remake, Sorry Merriman. And including Army of Darkness, which for me is the weakest of the lot, but it's still just a good, fun, silly time. This one, it goes a little bit away from the silly funness, and it also gets everything out of the cabin into a high-rise, or at least an apartment building, and it is just damn good. I love all the nods and winks. It depends on how you do them. Like, I'd hate when a movie stops everything and it kind of, you know, breaks the fourth wall and you get what we did there? Did you see that? Did you get that? This movie never does that. There are a bunch of nods and winks and Easter eggs, whatever you want to call them, in this movie that if you're a hardcore fan, you can find and pick out and have a laugh about. If not, they don't get in the way at all.
Mm-mm. No, I think we've seen it 3 times.
Yeah.
And I just like it more every time I watch it. It's just so good.
I really like all the characters. I like the setting. I like the premise. I like the idea that, you know, there are at least three different versions of the Necronomicon. Because I've heard talk going around that it might do a movie with all three versions of the book. I don't know if that'll happen, but I would like to see it. I really enjoyed this movie. And yeah, every time we do see it, I end up liking it a little bit more. It is a good, gory, fun time. It's Evil Dead, baby.
Another film with great performances, too. Mm-hmm. Even from kid actors.
Yes, which I usually despise. Here, I like them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number two.
Actually, Talk to Me, which was my number three, for a very long time was number one.
Okay.
Until we saw this next movie, and then it got bumped to number two, only to then be bumped to number three by my top movie. But anyway, my number two is Thanksgiving.
Oh, good. Now, how would that work again? It was your number one or...
Talk to Me was my number one.
Okay.
And then when we saw Thanksgiving, that became my number
one. Okay.
And then when I saw the movie that is now my number one, Thanksgiving became my number two.
Okay. Now I got it.
Good. But we've already talked about Thanksgiving.
Oh, so okay.
We don't have to worry about that. What's your number two?
My number two, When Evil Lurks.
Wow, that got really high up your list.
I really, really enjoyed that one. I love when a movie, like I said just a little while ago, everything's already been done. All the stories have been told. Now you gotta tell them in new ways. And that's essentially what this is. It's an exorcism story, kind of, or at least a possession story. But I loved... First off, the gore was crazy. They did some stuff in here that...
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The rotten...
Yeah.
That was the well zombie from...
Yep.
From The Walking Dead. Like, yeah. That's immediately what I thought of, and that was so gross.
Or the scene where the... The mother is walking down the street holding her child.
Yes.
And that's all I'll say. So there are lots of holy shit moments in this. But I also love the world building. They never once just stop everything dead and deliver a whole bunch of exposition. You get dribs and drabs throughout, but that's how it should be done. And it is just, in this world... demons and possession is kind of a known thing. It just happens.
Yeah, they even have people who take care of it. You know, and professionals.
How it goes from there, I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, that was a good one. I was really happy to finally see it. Look at this.
Yeah.
She don't even care.
Nope. Anyways, what is your number one?
Okay, drum roll, please.
Brrrrum.
It's like Christmas Vacation. My number one horror film of 2023
Five Nights at Freddy's.
A very resounding no. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Woo, that was a good movie.
No, not that one either. It is Brooklyn 45.
Wow.
Yeah, you didn't even know.
No, I didn't.
Not a clue.
I thought I would be alone having it on my list.
Nope. I was knocked in the dirt by that movie.
Oh, good.
I fucking loved it.
I it was great. For such a out-of-the-blue sleeper hit, not expecting a damn thing from it to... Yeah, it was just... And for, it's a masterclass of acting. It is just so well done. The director of this also did a few other movies. What were they again? Do you remember?
I was surprised. I wanted to say, I was like, oh, this is the same guy who did...
I'll look it up. The director and the writer of this was Ted...
I've never known how to pronounce his name. I think it's Gil Geoghegan, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I stopped dead in my tracks. Anyways, Ted. Ted's also done a bunch of stuff, but more recently he did the very good We Are Still Here and the even better Satanic Panic.
Yeah.
So I'm impressed by this guy.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen all his works, obviously, but I've seen those three. Each three I really liked to loved. So I am very interested to see what he does next. But no, I am surprised you enjoyed that movie so much.
Yeah, I was astounded, but I just was flabbergasted. All of those words. The entire time I was watching it, I was blown away. I, too, love Ann Ramsey. I think she's fantastic. I was blown away by her. Fessenden, wow.
This was the best I've ever seen. Yeah.
It was so good. And then every other member of the cast, every person in that film was phenomenal.
Yeah. There ain't one bad performance in it.
Nope.
Everybody played their character perfectly.
Ezra Buzzington, the big-eared guy?
Yeah.
He was great.
He had me bawling, laughing my ass off.
Yeah, oh God. It was so funny. Not, like, uproariously... It's not a comedy.
Yeah, it's
but
not...
But it just was, you know... But like it's a dark comedy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the sardonic, dark humor you would expect in a movie about seances and all that various spooky stuff.
Yeah. Or like there's a scene that's like, oh, spirits, if you're out there, give us a sign. And then the one, or maybe don't. but yeah, I think it it touched on so many interesting aspects of human nature.
Yeah.
Particularly dealing with being fresh out of World War II.
It deals with loss. It deals with not coming to terms of that loss and having all these unanswered questions.
Prejudice, the horrors of war.
It's a spy thriller.
Yeah.
It's a horror movie. It's a drama. It's a comedy. It's a whole bunch of goodness all wrapped up in a role.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that is a very good pick. I am pleasantly surprised it's your number one.
What did you think was going to be my number one?
I don't know. Well, I thought your number one was going to be my number one.
Talk to me?
Talk to me.
Oh, okay.
Talk to Me is my number one. I just really had a lot of fun with that one. I was really impressed at this directorial debut by these two guys. Again, the story is nothing like earth-shattering original, although it does have new twists and it goes in different directions than I thought it would. It also has some toe sucking, and I'm all about that.
No, you're not.
No,
well,
I'm not.
I mean, actually, you might be. I don't know. You've just never brought it up to me if you are.
You want me to suck your toes?
No.
Maybe? But, yeah, it was just a lot of fun.
I stepped in puppy pooper.
Yeah, okay. Well, I might like that more. But, yeah, it was just expertly done. It did what it set out to do. Again, I liked everybody in it. I like how the story twist and turned, how you could have different ideas of what's going on. Oh, wait, you know, the dead people are doing this, and this is the answer. Oh, wait, no, you know, they're playing games. And, you know, it kept you guessing. There was some great special effects, great performances. That creepy hand sculpture is now iconic in horror.
You can buy it.
Yeah.
I was going to. for you for Christmas, yeah, I was like, no. Then I was like, maybe I can make one.
Exactly. I was like, all you need is a mannequin hand and throw some paint on it.
I was going to do like a plaster cast, you know, of my hand. And I don't know.
Whatever. I'm sure you can make one. But, yeah, it was just really good. It did take me by surprise because, yeah, I had no faith into it. We saw it very early before it got any buzz. And, yeah, I was expecting...
Yeah, we drove in a rainstorm to go see that movie.
I was expecting it to be good, but not amazing or great or anything like that. Because, come on, it's made by a couple of YouTube chuckleheads. How good can it be? But, yeah, it was excellent. Mm-hmm. We've seen it a few times now, and each and every time I like it more and more. So that is a sign of a good movie, and that is why it's my number one.
All right. Well, you want to go down your list real quick before we talk about some honorable mentions?
Sure. Go ahead, start with your 10 and knock them out.
All right. Starting at the bottom, we have Saw X, Cocaine Bear. Actually, Cocaine Bear has been excised. Cobweb. No One Will Save You. When Evil Lurks. Last Voyage of the Demeter. Evil Dead Rise.
No, that wasn't on your list.
Yes, it is. Insidious, The Red Door.
Ugh.
Talk to Me. Thanksgiving. And Brooklyn 45. Do you know of... Because remember I said a lot of mine were theatrical? One... 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 of my 10 were theatrical films.
Not bad. Okay, for me at number 10.
Or it's... 8 of my 11.
For me, my number 10 is Cocaine Bear. My number 9 is Influencer. 8, Resurrected. 7, No One Will Save You, which is an awesome title, I gotta say.
Oh, yeah.
So much better than Brooklyn 45. Number 5 or 6, whatever. Last Voyage of the Demeter, and then Brooklyn 45, then Thanksgiving, Evil Dead Rise, When Evil Lurks, and finally, Talk to Me.
All right.
Talk to me. Talk to me.
By the way, I want to amend it. I think it was 7 of my 11. I'm having a problem with numbers tonight.
Yeah, I guess so.
And I know you said you don't have any honorable mentions, but there are some that I would like to throw out there.
And I'm sure I would agree with some of your honorable mentions, too. I just couldn't think of any to add.
Let's see. Well, Cocaine Bear was actually on my honorable mention list. So I think I added it to that one by accident.
Okay.
See, there it is down there. One that would no way make my list, but it was really fun, I thought, was Scare Package 2. I had a good time with that movie. The first one I didn't love.
No.
But this one I thought was way better.
I do think the second one was better, yeah.
Just a shout out to Pope's Exorcist. That wasn't a great movie, but I loved Russell Crowe in it.
He was definitely the highlight, but no, I didn't think that movie was any great shakes myself.
It Lives Inside.
That one had a lot of going for it. Again, I wish I liked it more. Maybe if I watch it a couple years down the road, I will like it more. But no, it's a good, solid film.
Infinity Pool.
Same with that. I'm surprised I did not like it more. I really can't point out anything I disliked, but I just wasn't feeling it for it to make my top 10.
Yeah, I get that. Suitable Flesh.
That one is tough for me because it is based off a Lovecraft story, which is so much better, in my humble opinion, than the movie, so I had a hard time judging the movie on its own merits. And again, I'm aware of that. I do know myself. I know how I am. But yeah, because I do know the original story so well, and it is a great story, I just kept comparing it to film, and in that case, the film came up short.
Yeah, I can understand that. Megan?
I thought it was fine. Not offensive. A decent little
flick. We still haven't watched the rated R version. I would like to do that.
I just don't think a little bit extra splatter is going to make that big of a deal. Hmm. But I could be wrong. Maybe I will like it so much more.
This is one that I really enjoyed. I don't remember how you felt about it, but The Blackening.
That was another one. I was really looking forward to that. I thought the trailer looked really good. But when we actually got into it, I thought it was half funny.
See, I thought it was really funny.
I don't know. You know, humor is subjective, but yeah. Everything is. I mean, horror can be subjective and all that. I wanted to like it much more than I did. And when it was all said and done, I was like, yeah, that was okay, but that was just it. It was okay. It was a good watch.
Well, I just thought it was
a good one-time watch.
Really clever how they acknowledged things. Like, you know, the whole trope, which is now really just kind of a meme these days, that, you know, the black character dies first. Yeah. Like, we can't all die first. the fight scenes in the woods, like how she just started whooping ass out of nowhere. Like, I don't know. There were things about it that I just thought were fantastic.
It had really some funny moments, but then it had, for me anyways, moments that just dragged on and was like, okay, it's not funny. Do something. But, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I do recommend that if people haven't seen it. Renfield.
Yeah, that one almost made my list.
It was very close to making my list. And in the end, honestly, I don't have a good reason that it didn't. I had so many that were volleying for that.
My reason is because I can count to 1 to 10.
Shut up. My reason is that I had a lot that were trying to get those last couple spots, or it turns out should have been just that last one spot, and I couldn't decide, so I finally just ended up just stabbing, like, okay, what about, all right, I'm making an executive decision, this is it. But it just as easily could have been Renfield, because I really wish that movie did better than it did.
Yeah.
I thought it was really fun. Nicolas Cage, I think, was perfect. You know, lots of great splattery gore. I mean, really splattery. You know, like that whole apartment building scene where the guy's just, like, cut in half and, like, I mean, just shit's flying everywhere. Like, that, I love that shit. And plus, what is that? Trey Fu? When he was killing everybody in the restaurant with the
serving tray.
Yeah. And what was it? Who is he? Nicholas Holt?
Yes.
Yeah, I really like him. Because previous to that, I had seen him in The Menu, and he's done other stuff too, but I like him a lot.
Wasn't he, what's his name? Nug, or something like that, in Fury Road? Or is that someone else I'm thinking of?
No, that was him.
The guy who, yeah. Oh, what a lovely day!
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was awesome in that.
Yeah. You know, I really wanted to Totally Kill or Almost Made It. I wanted that movie to
be better.
No, I liked it. I just...
No.
I'm... Now, that was the last one that you can get me with that trope. Like, and have
take
me
enjoy a slasher it. And add...
Yeah.
Dot, dot,
like,
dot.
By the time we got to It's a Wonderful Knife, I just was over it. You know? But Totally Killer, I thought, was really fun.
And I like that idea. I like taking a slasher and adding something to it. But A, it's getting kind of old. But also B, do it. If you're going to do it, do it. In other words, stick that PG-13 family-friendly, safe-for-all bullshit up your ass. I am not interested in that when it comes to my slashers. I want blood, I want gore, I want death, I want boobies. I want all that. I want what made slashers to be in these new slashers. So I am getting kind of sick of the safe and...
Well, and there's only so many times you can joke about how, oh, things are so different now than they were in the 80s.
Yes.
You know, I think that one did it well.
It did.
Totally Killer was really... Because her delivery... Of like, okay, let's not let that be the takeaway. You know? Like, she just, thought she was great, you know, and it wasn't, and it didn't feel judgy. It just felt like
it acknowledged the past without wagging its finger at
Yeah, and without making you feel like shit for remembering the 80s fondly, because I do.
Yep. 80s were an awesome time. If you missed out, sucks to be you.
But, all right, well, that's pretty much everything I wanted to give a mention to. Is there anything else you want to say about 2023 or any movies that you think of that...
No, like I said, 2023 wasn't a great year for me, so I'm surprised I could pick out 10 solid, good films that I felt good enough about putting them on my list. Although...
Yeah. What?
With the horse shit that's going on with Scream 7?
Oh, yeah.
My God. They just need to stop that. They just need to stop, let it die, give it a few years, and then try to bring it back. I don't think just, you know, blowing the dust off Neve Campbell and bringing her in, paying her what she should have been paid for the last one, is enough to do now that you've banked so much on the Carpenter sisters, and they're gone, and the director's gone, and everybody's just leaving that thing.
Yeah, and that makes me sad, because I love Jenna Ortega.
Yeah.
So... Well, that's it, guys. That's our top 10 of 2023. I hope you enjoyed that. If you are feeling froggy, drop us your list.
Yeah, I would love to know what your top 10 was.
Or any comments you have about Brian's list.
Because agreeing with how awesome it is, or how Jamie can't count to 10.
Yeah. Can I blame that on my eye thing?
No.
No?
You've used that crutch way too much.
Well, all right then. All right, guys. Well, that's it. This is the beginning of the year. We are back. And we will see you soon. That, I can promise. Unless, you know, good Lord willing and the cricks don't rise.
Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
And, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for visiting the House of Salmons. We hope to see you back very soon. Until then, come chat with Brian and me on our Facebook group page at Horror in the House of Salmons. And if you like what we do here and want to hear some bonus episodes, consider being a patron at patreon.com/House of Salmons. Special thanks to Rick Morgan for composing our theme music.